Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
With Mr. Beacon, our purpose is to allow you to hear directly from the people behind the companies that are making digital to physical convergence happen and bringing IoT to life. Brian Dunphy is a great example of that. He was there right at the beginning of the Beacon ecosystem at Qualcomm through Gimbal, and we've taken the opportunity to catch him just as he's moving to a new company, Verve, to get his perspective on the Beacon system and also his insight into Verve, who are a company that is growing and successful and actually making money out of the Beacon ecosystem in the realm of advertising. We hope you enjoy it. So Brian, this is the 50th episode of the Mr. Beacon podcast. I can't think of a better person to have on the show. I can't imagine why we haven't had you on sooner. Thanks so much for joining us on the Mr. Beacon podcast.
Steve, I'm honored to be here at a milestone event like your 50th. That's awesome.
So, Brian, I was thinking that if business development people were rock stars, and in many ways I think they are rock stars, you would be like the Elvis Costello of the Beacon business, the context business, the Beacon system, whatever you want to call this. It's not the sideburns. It's because you've worked with so many different people. You're like Elvis Costello, Burt Bacharach, Paul McCartney, are just a litany of people, Annie Lennox, and you have worked with some amazing companies. I can't believe that you started life as a PwC auditor, but you did, and you spent a long time at Qualcomm doing some pretty amazing things, developing incredible partnerships with people like Major League Baseball, and you did the original Beacon deal with Apple, which was pretty cool, Citibank, South by Southwest. So there's just an amazing set of experiences you've been through. And so what I want to do today is talk about your latest gig, which is at a fascinating company called Verve, based just up the road from San Diego in Carlsbad. So let's talk about what they're doing. But also, I'd love to get your perspective at this kind of transition time about the proximity location ecosystem as a whole.
Yeah, so I joined Verve recently, and Verve is one of the leaders in location-based mobile advertising. They've been in business since 2005 and one of the pioneers in actually location-driven advertising. So very early on, they realized that the first-party data signals that you can get with location insights can actually drive behavioral insights to drive much more contextually relevant advertising, which results in a higher performance where consumers are interested in the advertising that they're receiving, more likely to act upon it and click on it and engage with it, which results in higher CPMs. So what excited me about Verve was not only their being in the business as long as they have, is their vision on IoT, mm-hmm. and how all these location signals, whether it's coming from GPS or Wi-Fi or Bluetooth beacons, and now, of course, visual light communications, NFC, whatever the IoT signal that's being emitted, those are all precise signals of location and potentially behavioral interests of mobile users that opt into mobile apps for having more IoT engagement. Now, a lot of the signals that come out of that are you're getting billions and billions of events that are happening on a daily basis, mm-hmm. if you have scale. And the challenge is, how do you make sense of that? And what really I liked about Verve was their investment in data science. They've got a very large data science team that analyzes the data insights that are happening from these location events, and to help advertisers and their app publishers to build profiles and audiences about who the different segments of people that are, how they traverse in the world. And that in itself drives a much higher value to the advertiser at the end of the day.
So give us a few metrics to get a sense of how big Verve is.
Okay, so Verve's 250 employees. Mm-hmm. They've got offices headquartered here in San Diego and Carlsbad, New York, Denver, San Francisco, Chicago, and a presence in the UK as well. And from a size of their addressable audience for advertising, they have over 225 million device IDs that they're able to engage with for mobile advertising. Now, they have an SDK that goes into their application partners. So over 5,000 premium apps have got the Verve SDK incorporated in it. And over 50 million monthly active users are seen by the Verve SDK. What that is doing is generating over 250 billion location events per month. So extremely large scale in both the reach of their addressable audience that's out there across these diverse mobile applications, as well as the amount of location events that are being triggered. For example, the average daily active user that has the Verve SDK is generating about 50 location events a day.
Wow. So that's huge. And I do want to get into a little bit more of who the customers are and what they're getting out of it and so forth. But under the covers, you guys bought a beacon company. So you've got beacon hardware, Roximity, right?
That's right. Roximity is one of the early pioneers in the beacon space. When we were coming out with beacons, when I was at Qualcomm starting Gimbal, the Roximity guys were starting their company out in Denver and had a very similar philosophy that beacons combined with geolocation, with geofences and Wi-Fi could be a powerful engagement tool. And similar philosophy around security on beacons, and that they needed to have secure access so that unauthorized applications couldn't access them. So I was very excited when I joined the Verve team to partner up with the Roximity guys, and I've been aware of them since 2013 when we first met at South by Southwest at a beacon event. Huh. Great guys.
So part of it, part of it at least, is this beacon thing, and it sounds like you're doing kind of the conditional access, the rolling IDs, so that only it's pay to play. So you're protecting privacy, and only the folks that are supposed to access the beacons can access the beacons, is that correct?
Correct, and I think it's important because you hit on a few key points there. One, privacy is the most important thing that this industry needs to embrace. Consumers need to be opting in for these services, and the applications that are being able to access these beacons need to have permission from the beacon owners, because these beacon owners are putting these devices into their high-valued locations. Whether it's a retailer deploying beacons inside of their store, or whether it's a stadium owner putting beacons inside of their stadium. This high-valued real estate, they can't be hijacked by any third-party application that can see these signals. So it's very important to have a security model that enables digital ownership of the device so that the beacon owner can have control of who's seeing it and privacy around the data that's being transmitted off it, as well as from the application publisher standpoint, having the right permissions for consumers opting into beacon technology and location enablement.
So one of the things I'm really interested, just occurred to me to ask you this, is how Verve has kind of got over that bootstrap problem of having critical mass of beacons in order to do location-based advertising. Because one of the things I think when we first started looking at this business back in the Qualcomm days was advertisers don't just want to advertise in one city. They want to do large campaigns that are broadly deployed across lots of venues and lots of locations. So clearly Verve is big and you're doing a lot of business. So I'm assuming that you don't have beacons absolutely everywhere. How do you overcome that need to do, you want to have advertising that is triggered based on precise location, which is something that beacons give. And yet, I don't think anyone's really achieved the nirvana of having beacons everywhere.
No one has achieved the nirvana of having beacons everywhere. And I think one of the challenges and one of the things that I have in hindsight now is a more desire to be focused in where you're using beacons and what you're driving beacons into locations. Because one of the things that first excited me when we brought beacons into the market back in 2012 and 13 was the exponential number of use cases that beacon technology enabled. Mm-hmm. And we were very focused on the experiential side. But one of the things I've got a larger appreciation for now today after doing this for so many years is the experiential side takes a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing about triggering an engagement inside of an application, whether it's sending an offer to a consumer at the right time or enabling a mobile ordering solution for a quick service restaurant to work or to have a VIP be recognized when they walk into a stadium ballpark. But all those are really cool experiences. But behind the scenes, there's a lot of work that needs to go in to get that deployed at scale. Mm-hmm. And for that to work, you've got to have the workforce that is working inside of that retail store understand how that experience now works with their analog processes. Mm-hmm. Same thing with inside of a stadium. Now, if you're dealing with a quick service restaurant's mobile ordering solution, there's a whole set of back office systems and other environmental challenges that aren't appreciated. So where I think Verve is focused is around leveraging beacons initially for attribution, retargeting, behavioral analytics for the app provider and the brand that is deploying the beacons, but really kind of narrowing the use case, embracing experiential capabilities on it, but leaving that to third-party solution providers to build those out. But from an initial ROI standpoint, attribution and retargeting capabilities really are where the bread and butter for beacon technology with Verve lies, because they can now leverage the location engagement, what their macro location technology platform is doing using geo-targeting from cell tower to GPS and Wi-Fi signals to augment that now with beacons. So we can now say, we know you were influenced by an advertisement that encouraged you to go visit a particular retailer in San Diego near Carlsbad, and that you actually showed up inside of the retailer's location at the mall because you crossed that geofence. So we know where you were first influenced and where you arrived. But with a beacon now, we can actually get inside the store and say that person actually walked in the store and potentially even walked up to the product shelf if the beacon is deployed there.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
So you've said a lot of really interesting things there. I want to unpack a few of them, summarize them. One thing that, so Verve is successful. That's really clear. And you're doing something that a lot of people have tried to do and not achieved. And it sounds like part of the secret to success is acknowledging that beacons are great for experiential things. But it sounds like what you're saying is, sure, we can use beacons for where's the nearest restroom in a stadium. But that's really down to the stadium app. And what you guys are focusing on is essentially the ad network piece that you can use the same beacons.
Yeah, and really it's to help drive the ROI and the business case for broader deployments of, mm-hmm. of these beacons, because most of the beacon deployments that have happened over the last few years have been through the innovation budgets of these companies. So you'll see a good press release out there about a great experience over at Barney's in New York. Mm-hmm. That was a great article, but that's one store. It's their flagship store in New York. That's probably hit the innovation budget. Mm-hmm. How to get that broadly deployed out across all locations? The CIOs of those companies and the CMOs need an ROI-driven use case that can actually say, this is driving results right now that are measurable for us to invest in the deployment. Because it's not just the cost of these beacons, which have come down considerably. You can get them now for less than $5, and you can mm-hmm. get them at a few dollars here. But it's not the cost of the hardware, the actual deployment, the building out of the application, the user experience, and then training the workforce personnel on this new user experience takes a lot of time, and that will happen. I think we always like to tell clients about when you're looking at beacons, do a crawl, walk, run. Mm-hmm. approach to it. If you're crawling and you want to get a ROI-driven use case, look at attribution, look at retargeting, and look at just the analytical insights about how often users come to particular locations inside of your venue, how they got there, what was the consumer journey inside of there, mm-hmm. And what influenced them to get there.
Got it. So what I'd like to do now is just wrap up a few last questions about Verve, and then let's talk about the state of the beacon ecosystem, proximity and location more broadly. So I just want to make sure I'm understanding the flow of money, who gets paid what in the Verve business. So you have all these publishers, a large number of publishers who've got the Verve SDK in there, and then you have brands that are advertising, and then you also have venues. Those are kind of the three legs of the triad. Mm-hmm. And so presumably I'm Heineken, I'm Coors, or Estee Lauder, and I want to buy advertising. I would work with you guys. I'd buy ad units or whatever. I'd pay for the targeted ads and the attribution. And then you share money presumably with the publishers of the apps. And do you share money with the venues as well, or is it just with the publishers?
So the business model, we work with, we've got a number of teams that work across the ecosystem. We have a media sales team that works with the top national brands, Procter & Gamble, Pepsi, the mm-hmm. likes, and the major agencies that that support those brands. They're the ones that are looking for the audiences and providing the advertising dollars to reach these consumers. We then partner and deliver the advertising through our publisher network, reaching the audiences that they're looking to reach in the specific locations that they've asked us to target those users, and we share the media advertising dollars with those publisher partners. We also have a model where we provide a white label solution where the Velocity platform that a brand that has a local sales force that is out there selling local mobile advertising and local digital advertising, where they could basically use the Velocity platform and use that as their mobile advertising powered engine as more of a white label type offering.
Okay. So there are some companies that kind of go to folks that have beacon infrastructure. Say I've got all the beacons in Times Square, pretty valuable bit of real estate. Can I work with you guys to somehow monetize those, or is that just not the model that you use?
No, actually, my view, and I think the view of Verve's leadership is, yeah, we acquired Rocksimity and Beacon, and we have a Beacon hardware solution that we can offer directly. But I think the overall Beacon ecosystem is going to need to move to more interoperability between the proprietary Beacon networks in order to provide that reach and that scale that's that the brands are looking for across these different beacon networks that are out there. So if somebody has a beacon network that's deployed across Times Square or across any major retail location, mm-hmm. we'd definitely be interested in talking with them about how we could partner up to help drive more advertising and attribution across their beacon networks. Because I think in order for this to really scale and take it to the next level, we're going to need to rely on a number of different hardware manufacturers and beacon network providers that are out there to proliferate scale across all the high-valued, high-traffic locations that consumers are spending their time in.
All right. So last question is about SMB. I when we first started in this business, I kind of envisaged this dashboard that someone who was running a restaurant or a small business could go to, and they could leverage this location-based advertising infrastructure and system. And I noticed it seems like you guys have taken a step towards that. Does that nirvana exist? Is there a dashboard that I can go to? A bit like with Facebook. You can go to Facebook and you can place Facebook ads that are locationally targeted. Is that something that you guys offer, or is it more of a kind of speak to someone and they'll put this campaign together for you?
So our approach to going after the SMB market is leveraging the Velocity platform I just mentioned, the white label offering. So the enterprise sales team that is out engaging with partners for deploying that or is working with companies like YP, Velasys, who have local sales forces that are out dealing with these SMB customers and giving them the local scale and reach to be able to deliver mobile advertising and drive people into the local business areas. So that's our approach to how we tackle SMB is going after partner providers that have boots on the ground that need a mobile advertising platform like Velocity.
Got it. All right. So you've kind of just taken a step from Gimbal, which is well known for its beacon products, and you've moved to another company that has beacons, but they're more kind of under the covers in a way. It's not like Verve is pushing itself as a beacon company. What's your view of the health of this beacon ecosystem? How's it going?
So the beacon ecosystem is now 4 years in, mm-hmm. maybe five if you look at 2012, but really 2013 is when beacons really started to get deployed and mainstream. But if you study the hype curve of technology evolution and adoption, there was a lot of hype for the first few years. Beacons were the new shiny object, and everyone had to have a beacon strategy, had to be doing beacon pilots, and was testing all kinds of different use cases. And all of the beacon providers that came out, and there were a lot of them in the first few years, had a lot of hype, set a lot of expectations of what beacons can do. And they can do all this, but the challenges I said earlier about just the integration challenges and all the back office systems and getting personnel and consumer adoption, that all takes time. Mm-hmm. So I think where we're at in the hype cycle curve is really at this trough of disillusionment, mm-hmm. where a lot of the CIOs, CMOs of major brands have like, we tried Beacons, it didn't work out, we didn't see the ROI. That is no different than where other emerging technologies in mobile kind of went through their hype life cycle. If you look at location-based services, it took nearly a decade before it became mainstream in the United States. Mm-hmm. When I was at Qualcomm, we launched with Brew location-based services in 2001, and it took off in Japan and Korea. But it wasn't until apps like Uber and Lyft and Google Maps started to really kind of require consumers to have location on all the time that it became more mainstream. So this decade of LBS kind of certainly had its life cycle of, LBS is going to be the greatest thing. But it certainly in 2003, 2005 in the US was at a trough of disillusionment. Same thing with Wi-Fi, acceptance on mobile phones. Most consumers, when they first got Wi-Fi, turned it off. Mm-hmm. They thought it was a battery drain. Now, if you look today, everyone's got Wi-Fi turned on because the operators are encouraging it. It's saving your data rates. It's connecting to all the connected home technologies. So I think with Beacons, we're at that trough of disillusionment. And it's been because it really hasn't hit the scale of meeting the ROI for the investments that need to be made for not only deploying, but sustaining and maintaining a beacon-based strategy and network. So what you're seeing now in the industry is a lot of consolidation, and I think you're going to see more of it. You saw, you know, the merger of the Mobile Majority and Gimbal. You saw Verve acquiring Rocksimity.
HID acquired Blue Vision.
Yep, that's right. Aruba made their acquisition a few years ago. Yeah. So we're going to see more of this consolidation that's happening, because if you're just a standalone beacon provider, it's going to be difficult if you don't have more of a complete solution that is able to monetize and provide the full end-to-end value for a enterprise that is looking to deploy beacons. So again, it goes back to, I think now interoperability is going to be really important. Partnerships between companies, and you're going to see beacons morph. Beacons, when they first came out, were battery operated devices, standalone devices. You're seeing beacons now being embedded into lighting infrastructure. Acuity, GE, mm-hmm. Philips are all investing in big lighting beacon type strategies and networks. You're seeing beacons embedded into digital displays and point of sale systems. Mm-hmm. So anything that can be powered that has got Bluetooth can become a beacon. Mm-hmm. And additionally, I think you'll see more IoT based devices that will have beacon-like capabilities, but not necessarily be Bluetooth low energy. So I think at the end of the day, it's going to be a massive ecosystem, and you're going to have a lot of co-opetition between different parties and probably more consolidation.
I'm going to wrap up now with final question, which is, we're predictions for the future. We're coming to the end of the third quarter of 2017. What are your predictions for the next year or so?
We are going to see a lot more connected devices. So this 50 billion connected device number may be light. I personally have about 250 connected nodes in my house. A lot of them are light switches, mm-hmm. and dimmers and outlets. But I've connected up every single node in my house. You're seeing Alexa really proliferating. You're seeing Apple coming out with, mm-hmm. with the Hub. More and more consumers are going to be embracing IoT, and it's these sensor-based technologies are just getting smaller and cheaper. You're going to see more RFID type tags that are out there, and not just RFID, but Bluetooth enabled tags like what you're going to be working on, mm-hmm. with Wiliot, mm-hmm. NFC type tags, and I think you're going to see a variety of these at price points that are going to make it easy to start attaching these things to consumer products that help to close the loop on understanding transactions. And I think you'll see a variety of other sensors, from light Wi-Fi fingerprinting and everything becoming more mainstream. But I think you're going to see consumers getting smarter on the type of control and permissions and access they give, and they'll be willing to provide more of that access and permission-based control as long as there's a trust that's built and protected on that relationship between the consumer and the type of data that's being collected on them.
It's going to be fascinating.
I think so.
Brian Dunphy, VP of Business Development at Verve, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Steve. Really appreciate it. And great luck to you at Wiliot.
Wonderful. So what music, if you're going to Mars, what music would you take with you?
Oh, I'm a big music guy. Actually, I prefer live concerts. But if I was to go to Mars, three very diverse songs that I would take with me. One would be Black Sabbath, Supernaut. Really love that, the power of that song and also the futuristic vision of it. It's one of the songs that I usually play on the radio on the way into work to pump me up. So I would take that and blast off on the way to Mars. The other song is by Soundgarden, Outshine. That song to me shows you how fragile it is to be on top of the world at one moment and how quickly you can be knocked off and start to have self-doubt. So it really kind of makes me think about keeping myself in check. Mm-hmm. And then lastly is a song that I actually have on Sonos that wakes me up every morning, which is U2's Beautiful Day. And that was one of the songs that we had in my wedding. And it's a song I just really enjoy the optimism of that song. And reminding you to enjoy and appreciate the beauty of the world around you.
Those are great choices. I felt sure you would have the Red Hot Chili Peppers in there.
Well, you only gave me a choice of three. But, you know, Give It Away Now is probably one of my favorite songs, especially when it comes to emerging technology.
Yeah, you do. And all of this kind of reminds, because we used to work together, and I remember the first time we worked together, we were working with Universal Music Group. And probably one of the highlights of my career was when they said, "What music do you like?" to both of us. And I think we were both like, "Oh, need to, what are all the UMG artists?" And so we kind of did that. And then these big boxes of CDs arrived. This was back in the day. Big boxes of CDs of all the artists.
CDs were in bulk.
Yeah. So that was really cool. Very good. Thanks very much.
I really appreciate it, Steve. Thank you so much.
All right.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.